Hello and welcome to Clearing the Static, the radio show that talks about radio here on Geneva Community Radio and online, archived anytime. We're at clearingthestatic.tripod.com. Good evening. I am the Radio Kid here with you, along with my co-host, Jake Longwell. Hello, Jake.
Hello, Radio Kid, and hello, everybody.
Hi, nice to see you this week, or be talking to you this week.
Yes.
We missed a show last week, actually, and we do apologize. That may happen from time to time.
Yes, unfortunately, just circumstances didn't work out, and the Radio Kid had obligations with Mother's Day, as well he should.
Exactly.
And so we did miss a show, so I hope you enjoyed the encore presentation last week, but do bear with us, as Radio Kid says, that will happen from time to time, but rest assured, folks, we will do our best to ensure that you get a new program each and every week.
That's correct. And so since we were away, a lot has happened since we were away that we really need to discuss. The big news, for those of you who have been living under a rock, the big news is that terrorist mastermind and Al-Qaeda leader and all-around bad guy Osama bin Laden is dead. He was killed Sunday, May 1st, in a raid by the Navy SEALs, Team 6, and was shot in the face, which is exactly what he deserves. Now, the thing that we should be talking about here, since this is not a political program, is radio's response to the big news that broke probably around 10:30 Sunday evening of May 1st, that Osama bin Laden was dead. Of course, all three of the major TV networks had this news, NBC, CBS, ABC. ABC actually stayed on the longest, but we're not so much concerned with that as we are radio. Now, on the public radio side, there are some pluses and some minuses. Now, NPR was mainly with this story, but some of their public member stations were not. I can tell you exactly where I was when I heard the news. I was listening to Tuned 2 yesterday, and they had the top-of-hour news bulletin stating that the president was going to make a big announcement, thinking that hopefully WRVO would break in. I stayed tuned. They did not break in at that time, so I went out to watch television. When I came back around 11:30 or so, just before the president spoke, I turned on WRVO, and they were running the BBC World Service, so at some point they did break in. Jake, you told me from your side of the fence, your local public radio station, WEOS, did absolutely nothing.
That is correct.
That is correct, and if you are listening to this, shame on you, Mr. Aaron Reed. A big news story like that, and you are, even though, respectfully, Jake, it was one of your shows, this is big news, and there is no excuse for a public radio station, a station that prides itself on being better than its commercial radio counterparts. There is no excuse for a radio station not to break in with that kind of news. So shame on you, Aaron Reed, for not making sure that that happens. Unfortunately, Aaron, you were not the only one who did this. Apparently, there were a number of public radio stations, even so-called public radio news and talk stations, that stayed with their weekend specialty show format programming of car talk repeats or what have you. And this goes to show on a little tirade here that public radio, in some instances, is no better than commercial radio in that regard. When you don't even have anyone there who's willing to flip the switch in the event of a breaking news story, NPR can claim about how great its breaking news coverage is, but if no one's there to pick it up, or if stations in your area don't pick it up, it doesn't do you any good. NPR is just blowing hot air, if that's the case.
I would agree with that, and that is really sad. I think that if there were live bodies in those stations, certainly the situation would have been much more different. For instance, I assume this is still the case. I remember touring the public TV and radio stations at Central Michigan University a couple of years ago, the main hub for their operation, WCMU in Mount Pleasant. And I was told, at least on the radio side, that there was always someone in the control room 24 hours a day, even though they were running, even during the times when they're running NPR or satellite-delivered programming, there is still someone there. So I would be willing to wager that certainly they broke in with coverage. And other stations in urban areas, which have live staff at night, even during satellite and syndicated programming, also broke in with that coverage. So I guess it really depended on the market and basically whether someone was minding the store.
And here's another shame that we have to give out, and this one might break some public radio enthusiast hearts, but you know who else was not on this story? CBC Radio 1. And you would think with the big news department they've got in Ottawa, oh, we cover all the world news. You weren't covering this, you were running, let's see, oh yes, live stories of real Canadians.
Which I'm assuming was the regular program.
Yes! So, let's get this straight. The world's most wanted man is killed. Okay? The man who destroyed so many people's lives and screwed up so many families because they'll never see their loved ones again, he's finally killed. Okay? We finally get to him. And the CBC just sits back and runs their regular programming. That's real nice, you know. That's really doing a great public service there. It's a real nice way to let people know what's going on, and you know, a real nice way to honor those families, yeah.
And I have to say, that was very disappointing to me, too. I would not have guessed that they would have been that lax.
Yeah, and they were. And from what I understand, most of the rest of the Canadian media was just as lax. And which is sad, because, Jake and I have had these conversations before. We almost adore our brothers and sisters to the north. In terms of radio and television, these people are heroes to us, practically, because they do almost everything right. Unfortunately, this is not one of the almost. This is not one of the is. They did this wrong. The whole Canadian media did this wrong. Canada, note to Canada, just because this doesn't concern you and your little country, you don't want to cover it. This is the breaking news story of, like, the century, like, the second most biggest breaking news story that we've had in the past 20 years. Hello, Canada, anyone home? The phone is ringing!
As always, you told them.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I'm sorry, but there's no excuse for that.
No, there isn't. And certainly there should have been something mentioned during the night. And it's really sad and disappointing to see that it, indeed there was not.
No. Again, this isn't just CBC. Now, as some people may know, I have an experimental television. And you'd better believe, Sunday night, I had all kinds of media going. There was the cable TV in the living room was on with the regular coverage. I had two different radios on. And then, of course, I had the experimental TV on. And luckily, that was a good night for openings from Canada. And CBC, CKWS, had nothing. Of course, the TVO Ontario would have nothing. They don't have a news department. We caught the CJOH, which is, I believe, CTV.
Yes.
Again, nothing. They were talking about their elections. Of course, the elections in Canada happened on May 2nd, which was the day after this broke. But still, and then we caught we were able to get the global affiliate or one of the relays from Peterborough, and again, global nothing. Pathetic. This is again because, and I have to wonder though if this was not an election season, if the elections were not going to be held the day afterward. I have to wonder if this would have taken more precedence. But as it is, because it didn't concern Canada or the elections or Stephen Harper's butt, it wasn't relevant to them, I guess.
Well, we don't know that for sure. I mean, we don't really know the whole reasoning behind it.
Right, but, but then again, they're willing to talk about how many times in their newscast. Okay, they're going to talk about how many times Stephen Harper was married and this and that. And this. Osama bin Laden is dead. He's just been killed by Navy Air 6. I don't care how many wives Stephen Harper had at that point.
Well, no, but then again, you don't reside in Canada.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. But I'm saying, if I still resided in Canada, I wouldn't care how much. Anyway, let's move over to the commercial side of things.
Yes, because you had mentioned that your favorite newscaster, or I should say news department in that regard, was ABC.
Yes, they really did the television really did an awesome job. ABC stayed on like an hour and a half later than everyone else. Everyone else went dark at midnight to go back to regular programming. ABC stayed on, and I'm glad they did because through them we heard about the first rallies of the people at Ground Zero and the White House. They had the live video footage. Again, the other two networks had gone dark by this point. They had a reaction from the family members of those who were lost on 9/11. They really had a whole world perspective of this, and I think a lot of that has to do with the hiring of Christiane Amanpour. For those who don't know who she was a reporter at CNN, a very well-known, renowned world affairs reporter, and she was hired away to host This Week on ABC. George Stephanopoulos was hosting most of the coverage, and actually he did an excellent job on television.
Oh yes, I always liked his presentation of This Week. I always felt he was an excellent journalist.
Yes, yes, and now they stuck him on Good Morning America. What a joke.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
But I think he would make an excellent replacement for Diane Sawyer.
I'll agree with that as well.
just a wonderful presentation.
You know, it's too bad they couldn't put him, pair him with Charlie Gibson.
Yeah.
And no, that is not a remark against feminine or female journalists, I should point out. That's not at all.
No.
Just personal preference in this case.
Yes, definitely a personal preference. Even though I never really liked Gibson all that much. I mean, honestly, I would have liked to have seen George Stephanopoulos paired with Peter Jennings. Now, that would have been an interesting pairing.
Absolutely, if only Mr. Jennings had lived.
That's correct. But anyway, moving on to the radio side of this coverage. Of course, by now, it's 10:30, 11:30 at night, but you have Skywave. The AM news stations were actually doing a remarkable job. Most of them were either with CNN Radio News or ABC Radio Networks. But again, these networks were doing a remarkable job on the radio side of things. They were with the story until 3 o'clock in the morning as developments happened. Most of those stations, I don't even think, aired Coast to Coast Weekend.
Now, what are some of the stations you sampled?
We caught WSYR.
Mm-hmm.
and they were running the ABC News feed because the Fox News feed wasn't providing them with anything. WLW, which was doing their own local cast, we caught WSB Atlanta. They were running CNN, WCBS, WBBM, which are both CBS properties. They were doing their own local coverage. WTAM was running a mix of CNN, and I think we did hear some ABC network feeds going through. We also caught WBAL out of Baltimore. They were running ABC, so pretty much a quick scan of the AM dial via Skywave.
And I have to say, folks, I regret that I missed all of this because I had gone to bed early that evening.
Oh, no.
And so I literally did not find out about this until I got up the next morning and got an email from the Radio Kid saying something to that effect. And then, of course, I immediately flipped on the television to BBC World News and found their coverage to be top-notch, as always.
Yes, yes. Well, here's the ironic part. I was going to bed. I was going to bed at that time, and I just had the radio on because I always play the old-time radio to help me fall asleep. And, you know, when the news bulletin came on, of course, there's no way in hell I'm going to sleep when something that big comes on.
No.
But I was going to go to bed and call it a night.
Mm-hmm.
I was this close to...
We were almost in the same boat then.
Yeah.
As I'm sure a lot of other folks were. I mean, this happened relatively late at night, of course, our time.
Yes, it did. Of course, though, I heard the interview with Mr. Obama on 60 Minutes last week. And they had it planned intentionally this way.
Mm-hmm.
To break so that you would wake up on May 2nd and just find this out. They were actually counting on very few people being awake at that hour. Unfortunately, there were more people than what they thought, hence the, you know, the crowds at Ground Zero and the White House.
Oh, of course.
But they really weren't counting on that. They were really hoping most everybody would be asleep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just have to say, in wrapping up this portion of the program, I think I speak for many people around the world when I say, when it comes to Mr. Bin Laden, good riddance.
Yes. I full-heartedly agree. I feel, in retrospect to the radio, I feel that in this case, the commercial broadcasters were mainly on top of the story. Non-commercial was a little bit more lax, depending on where you were and who you were listening to, which I think this is something that non-commercial radio, public radio, needs to improve on. NPR has the coverage there. Use it.
Absolutely. It's not going to do you any good if you don't make use of it. You're paying for the service.
That's right. So why, you know, why it's... And NPR, I mean, here's something else we should bring. We have an hour, so... here's something else we should bring up. NPR has the credibility behind them, or so their proponents claim. Okay, if you are a proponent of public radio, well, we don't want the funding to get cut because NPR is so credible. Well, if the news coverage is so credible, then, and if it's so great, and they've got these breaking news bulletins right there for you, yeah, it would make sense to switch to the news feed when there's breaking news.
Certainly. I mean, somebody from home could, with technology these days, could do that from their home computer or even their cell phone. It's possible to get into the station's computer system and switch feeds. It's doable. It's doable.
Yeah.
It's just someone has to be made aware of it.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, I do have to, in this instance, I do have to commend WRVO for breaking in. In fact, they had special coverage all day Monday. Instead of running NPR, they had BBC World Service on all day.
That's great. And in many cases, people feel that's an improvement.
Yeah,
I'll never forget I'll never forget the one time there was a mix-up at WEOS a few years ago, and the satellite didn't, the computer didn't switch satellites in time to pick up Morning Edition, so we ended up carrying BBC World Service in its place because no one was there to correct the problem, and we actually got quite a few compliments. A lot of people were hoping it was a permanent change.
Yeah, it's a much better service.
It is. It is. It's just unfortunate that in this country it's not available free to radio stations, whereas in most of the rest of the world it is.
Yes, yes. But then again, we are not a British territory.
That's like, true. That's true.
You know, Canada... See, the reason they get it free in Canada... Canada, did you know this? Canada is still considered by Britain a semi-territory?
Oh, yeah. It's part of the Commonwealth. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's why they get it for free. We are not considered part of the Commonwealth.
No.
So.
No, we're those damn Yankees that had to start trouble in 1776.
That's right.
I'm sure that has absolutely nothing to do with why we don't get free BBC World Service. It's because the folks at Minnesota Public Radio and what was then known as American Public Radio saw a golden opportunity to get exclusive rights to distribution rights to that service here in this country. And so yet again, they have a monopoly on something here, in an aspect of public radio, and they take advantage of it.
Yeah, yes, they do.
So
so let's move on now.
Yes, talking about disasters.
Yes, we definitely have to commend a lot of the radio stations in the South. Now, if you were not watching the news this week or last week or the week before, you know that the South has been inundated with tragedy after tragedy. The first, we saw the big tornadoes, which took down several towers in Alabama. Especially hit hard was the town of Tuscaloosa, mm-hmm. Alabama.
Absolutely.
And the folks at, I have to commend the folks at Clear Channel Birmingham. They stayed on, all five of their stations went to a live feed. They stayed on all through the night, all throughout the emergency situation. This is something rare for Clear Channel.
Very, very rare.
I would like to give a special recognition to Casey Jones, the market manager for CC Birmingham, for making that happen. And I would like to give shame on Mr. John Hogan for firing Mr. Jones on Thursday. We don't know if it was directly related to this disaster emergency.
I hope not, because if it was, then that just shows what a miserable, poor excuse for a human being Mr. Hogan is.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. But it's, you know, this was a manager who did the right thing despite what the damn company memo said.
Absolutely. And the same applied, I don't know if you caught last week's International Radio Report, but Janice did a story, or read a story about the cluster in Tuscaloosa proper.
Yeah.
Which also did the same thing, and they were highly commended for their efforts to keep emergency channels open and keep people informed, because that area was, as you say, devastated by these twisters.
Yes, yes. I did happen to read that in the radio journal.
Okay.
And another thing that's going on, of course, after the tornadoes, the South had the floods.
Yes.
Now, we need to bring to people's attention, there are many stations that have been knocked off the air because of the floods. The most prominent is Clear Channel's Urban WDIA in Memphis. This is affecting mostly the Memphis market. Also, a lot of the Flynn broadcasting stations are affected, including the new Q... what used to be Q96. I think it's something else now. I'm too tired to look it up.
That's all right. It's late at night as we're recording this, folks. Late Saturday evening.
It's very late. But yeah, it's a lot of stations in Memphis are off the air right now because of what's happening at the Mississippi River.
Here's hoping that they'll be able to get back up and running as soon as possible.
Yes, yes, definitely. But again, the radio stations that were on the air, that could stay on the air, were lucky in that they came to the aid of and stayed on with emergency information. The other thing I want to commend is broadcasters helping broadcasters. In some instances, some commercial stations are allowing, for example, non-coms who have had their towers destroyed, or even a competitor who's had their tower destroyed, to use a backup tower at their plant to provide emergency information. And again, this is, you know, all in all, we may compete with each other as broadcasters, but we are, in a sense, a community.
Absolutely. I wish...
Shame to those on the boards who condemn such an action.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll agree with that 110%, Radio Kid, because, well, as you say, we're all a community, and I wish that we could realize this 365 days a year, not just when an emergency happens.
Yeah, that's, you know, we can have friendly competition in this industry.
Absolutely. It doesn't have to be backbiting. It doesn't have to be, well, I'm going to destroy you.
Right.
No, I'm going to destroy you. And no, it's ridiculous because it doesn't do anything, but the only people that we're hurting are ourselves.
And in some cases, our own listeners.
Well, yes, and the listeners especially.
Right. And so
it's interesting that we're talking about all of this as a rather heavy rainstorm is developing out here at Geneva.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yes. No, people, nobody's frying eggs in the background. It's rain. It's relatively warm in this home studio here at Geneva Community Radio, where we record this. So we have the windows open, and a nice cooling rain is falling. And frankly, I don't really want to close the window because I rather like the feeling that it's bringing into the apartment. So,
well, it's not raining here. So, ladies and gentlemen, for the next 10 seconds, you will hear the rain in Geneva. Here we go. And there you are. See, wasn't that relaxing?
Absolutely. Now you can go ahead and make a nature sounds CD with that on it.
You're right. Yeah, just put it on a loop.
There you go.
All right. Now, back to what we were saying. That is such a funny day. See, the craziest things happen on this show when we don't even expect them.
Absolutely.
Speaking of emergency situations.
Yes, and this is very disturbing.
Yes, let's move on to our next topic. Now, Jake.
I did not hear about this, so you're going to have to enlighten everybody, including myself.
I'm going to do the best I can, even though I don't understand most of it myself.
Okay.
But the FCC has approved a new emergency alert system.
Right.
And it was tested in New York City. Now, it's only going to operate in New York City and Washington, D.C. for right now. But this new system is supposed to go national. It is a new system that is designed specifically for cell phones. Essentially, you buy this special computer chip. And when there is an emergency, any sort of emergency, even an Amber Alert, whether it be an Amber Alert, weather emergency, news, big breaking news event, you will receive a notification on your cell phone. And your cell phone will automatically turn on. And you will automatically know that this alert is there.
Wow.
And it'll be on your cell phone. The problem is that the National Association of Broadcasters, and for once I agree with them, they feel that radio has been left out of this equation. And in my view, it most certainly has. The cell phone industry argues there's no need for radio anymore. Radio is an obsolete medium. With this new technology, the information can be delivered to anyone, anywhere, at any time. Well, I'd like to ask the cell phone industry a question. What if there's an emergency and the cell phone network crashes?
That's a good question. I think that's a legitimate question.
That's exactly the same question that the NAB is asking the cell phone industry.
Right, and a lot of folks don't realize that cell phones are, in a sense, radios. Because the cell phone signals are transmitted on extremely high radio frequencies, up in the 900 megahertz range. So when you are using your cell phone, you are essentially transmitting and receiving radio signals.
Yes. In fact, I don't know if you can do this anymore, but if you take an analog television and tune anywhere from channels 70 to 100, if your TV can go up that high, if you're lucky, you can actually hear some of these cell phone conversations. We don't condone such DXing, but it is doable.
Absolutely, if the phone is not encrypted, which most of them are these days. But no, a lot of people don't realize that this is a very volatile network, which is not as structurally as stable. There we go, as landlines, and is subject to going down at any time.
And the other thing that this really points out on radio's behalf is that, you know, for example, the tornadoes in Alabama. Yes, the cell phone will deliver you that immediate notice at 3 o'clock in the morning, but when your basement is flooding and the cell phone is dark, who was there? Radio. Radio was on the air giving the information.
That's right.
And that's the way it's going to be. This is actually pushing the NAB to lobby more for radios in cell phones and an automatic radio emergency alert system. The NAB is now appealing this new emergency alert system to the FCC. They don't like this new emergency alert system, and frankly, I don't blame them.
No, and neither do I. It doesn't look good.
It doesn't. You know, everyone always says to me, why do you... And yes, people of my generation do actually say this to me. They say, why do you listen to the radio? Radio is a dinosaur. Radio is a thing of the past. And unfortunately, it looks like the world, the powers that be, feel the same way.
It would appear. It would certainly appear, at least by this trend.
Yeah. Well, you know what? When there's a big emergency, if Mr. Harold Camping is correct, and there's an earthquake next week, and it's a really strong earthquake, and it knocks over the buildings, and it tears down the cell phone towers, good luck with that.
That's right. That's very true. Certainly, we hope that doesn't happen, but all it would take would be for a major tower that was supplying service, cell phone service, to a major market to collapse.
Yes.
And guess what, people? Your cell phones wouldn't work unless you could somehow get service from another tower.
Right. Right. That's... You know, everyone puts emphasis on the cell phone. I don't even own. I own a cell phone, but I don't even use the damn thing.
Yeah, and see, I'm the same way. I had a prepaid phone, but in fact, I probably still have it somewhere. But I never used it. I never used it. And I'm not against cell phones. I like the idea of being able to communicate with people on the go, especially if you are in an emergency situation, or if you know, something comes up and you're not going to be home on time, or something. You want to make sure that you can stay in touch with your family and friends. The only reason I don't have a cell phone is because, frankly, I haven't found one yet that makes a screen large enough where I can see it. So that's the main reason I don't have one.
I don't have a cell phone, Jake, because the talking ones are too expensive. It's $600 for a talking cell phone.
That is outrageous.
Yeah. In any case, I'd like to get to what Mayor Bloomberg and Rudy Giuliani, the mayor and former mayor of New York City, said about this emergency alert system. They said this new emergency alert system will better alert the public and bring them awareness of local events and emergencies, and will make the public more safe. When asked about the relevance of radio and why radio wasn't included, Giuliani said, "Radio is no longer a relevant or viable medium for distributing emergency information."
Wow. Now that's a fairly jaw-dropping statement if I ever heard one.
Yes, it is. And poor Mr. Rudy Giuliani, he doesn't have a clue. Unfortunately, Mr. Giuliani is like the most of the rest of the country. I mean, I bet you there are probably people, in fact, I know, there are people my own age who don't even own a radio.
That don't even own a radio.
Right, they don't even own one.
Wow. And I never thought we'd see that day.
No. So I told this young woman I was going to buy her a radio for Christmas, and I am going to buy her a radio for Christmas.
I'm just curious, what was her reaction?
Why do I want that? I have an iPod, which is another subject for another time. But I'm going to buy her a radio for Christmas.
Well, good. And I hope she gets good use out of it.
So do I. But that's, you know, Mr. Giuliani, shame on you. Have you forgotten on 9/11 who was the one who broke the news to the public? Most of the public was at work, and they found out about it through the radio. You think Mr. Big Boss is going to let the cell phones go off in the workplace just because there's an emergency of 9/11 and all this and that? You got to be crazy. Most people found out about it because they were sitting at their desks at work. They couldn't leave work. Probably some of them had, you know, offices and papers to write. They can't be looking at their cell phone while they're dictating a meeting thingamajig, you know. They can have the radio on in the background, but they got to concentrate on what they're doing. Are you nuts? Radio is definitely a viable medium. Get a clue, Giuliani. This is why you're so obsolete, because, you know, you just don't seem to have a clue. This is why probably people aren't going to vote for you in the presidential election. You make dumb statements like this, and I'm definitely not going to vote for you in the next presidential election if you run.
Well, see, here's what I think he would say to that. Well, yes, people found out through the radio because that was 10 years ago.
Okay.
It was 10 years ago, and granted, cell phones certainly were more pop. They were certainly in back then. They were definitely around. And
yeah, but they weren't like they are today.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, now we have this damn texting thing, and I
oh, yeah, that wasn't even... Well, actually, it was around back then. It was called SMS messaging.
Yes.
But it wasn't nearly as popular. I mean, they weren't talking about texting while driving, certainly. So I guess that's the argument that people would make to that statement is, well, that was in the past. That was 10 years ago. We've moved forward. Technology has moved forward.
Okay. Good luck. You know, as I said, when the cell phone network shuts down... You know, if it wasn't for the fact that it's radio's job, honestly, if it wasn't for the fact that it is radio's job to provide public service, I would love to be an owner of a radio station when something happens. And the government calls me up and says, oh, we need you to broadcast this because the cell phone network went down. I'd tell them to go screw it.
Mm-hmm.
I would, because this, you know, you don't want us. It's kind of like a child, okay, who wants to kind of be on their own.
Right.
You know, but then when something goes wrong, they want their mommy.
Right.
The radio, please come and save us. The cell phone network is down. Oh, you're on your own, buddy boy.
Mm-hmm. Now I have to wonder, with the cell phones, will they get those now famous or infamous EAS tones whenever a message is sent?
Nope. No. I wish. It'll just be like receiving a regular text. The only difference is your cell phone will turn on because of this chip.
Okay.
So if you have your cell phone off, it'll turn on, the text sounder will go off, and you'll get a 90-character message.
Okay, so they wouldn't even hear Perfect Paul from the National Weather Service.
No.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I know, right? So that's the latest with that. So our Jaiku question this week is, do you feel that radio is still a relevant medium for delivering content and information? Answer our Jaiku question. Add us as a contact on our Jaiku page, clearingthestatic.jaiku.com. You're listening to Clearing the Static on Geneva Community Radio. I am the Radio Kid along with Jake Longwell. And moving on now to something that happened quite a while ago, actually, in Jake's neck of the woods. Concerning one of the Heritage News talk stations in Geneva. Jake, would you like to fill us in on what went on a couple of weeks ago?
Well, yes. This was something that we had anticipated was coming. Everybody knew it was coming, although I don't recall ever hearing of any official press release to this effect. But it was common knowledge among the people in the know, as it were, in the radio industry in this area. AM 1240 WGVA, which is the conservative talk station of the Finger Lakes Radio Group, is now heard via an FM translator on 96.1. This was actually a deal that was many, many months in the making. Now, we've got to go back and give you a little history lesson. A few years ago, there was a new translator which came to town. It signed on originally as a repeater of the Calvary Satellite Calvary Satellite Network, or CSN. It originally began operation on 90.7 and was there for quite a number of years, even becoming part of the now-defunct CSN New York network based in Elmira. Eventually, the Finger Lakes Radio Group struck a deal with the Calvary Satellite Network to purchase this translator. In exchange, the Calvary Satellite Network was given AM 1110 WSFW in Seneca Falls. Now, another player in this scenario was WRVO, the NPR station at SUNY Oswego. They had, in the meantime, signed on their own translator, and there was a translator swap that took place where the Finger Lakes Radio Group sold the 90.7 translator to WRVO for WRVO's translator, which began life on 95.7 and moved up the dial to 106.3. It was believed that the radio group would resume operations on 106.3 with a WGVA simulcast. Well, this did not happen. In fact, the translator was dark for quite a few months and returned to the air on, of all frequencies, 95.7, relaying classic rock, The Wall, which is on 99.3, licensed to Seneca Falls. Well, this was only temporary because, as the Radio Kid said a couple of weeks back, the radio group did indeed switch that translator from 95.7 to 96.1. It is a straight simulcast of the programming on WGVA, and it gets out remarkably well. Everyone that I've talked to in that works for the company is blown away by its coverage, very impressed, very excited. It puts a solid signal more or less from Auburn almost to Canandaigua. It's running 220 watts in mono from the WNYR tower, which is in the town of Fayette in Seneca County, and puts a city grade signal over Geneva. So yet another AM station on FM, and this looks rather promising for the radio group and WGVA and its news, talk, and high school sports programming.
Yes. Now, the big question is another thing that I think is going to come into play, and I don't know if it will or not. We should mention that one of their other stations, one of the radio group's other stations, WAUB in Auburn, has a similar arrangement. They're on AM 1590, but they have an FM translator at 98.1. They are running the same, mostly the same identical programming.
Yes, that is correct. That is correct.
If, now, my question is, if the 96.1 signal can be heard in Auburn, is there any need for 98.1 and 1590 to continue doing what they're doing?
My guess would be yes, because while I was told it puts a good signal into Auburn, from what I understand, that was in a car, on a car radio.
Ooh.
Now, I don't know about home reception. It's a pity that neither of us live there anymore. But my guess would be yes. I don't think there are any plans to split off 1590 with its own unique format. Now, I could be wrong. I've been wrong before about this company and its actions. So, but my guess is that, yeah, it's just going to, in terms of Auburn and that area, it would certainly help to reinforce their presence. Well, you can hear us on two spots on the FM dial now, 96.1 and 98.1. But I really think that it's probably just, they'll feel that that signal, even though they'll say it rimshots Auburn, and so it's not really enough to justify a separate program feed on 1590, which is sad, because really that area has no local commercial radio to speak of.
Right. It just seems a little redundant.
Well, I would agree. I would totally agree. It would all depend, really, on how well that signal is being heard in the city, in homes, in offices. Certainly, if the signal is putting city-grade reception into those areas, into those buildings, then perhaps that would be something to consider.
Right.
I certainly wouldn't object to it.
I wouldn't either.
It just goes to show, though, that this is a recurring trend.
Yes.
And you know, how many more of these translators will be rebroadcasting AM signals? And another question that is worth posing: how long before these translators actually replace the AM signals?
They can't, though, can they?
Not now. Not under the current laws, but one does have to wonder.
You mean we could see a day where translators can originate their own programming? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, or that, or the translators could, and this is far, far into the future speculation, and I have no evidence to suggest any of this has any truth to it, or any of what I'm saying bears any possibility of happening. But what if these translators, well, we'll use the 96.1 as an example, a 220 watt signal. What if the rules were changed and somehow that could be upgraded and it could become a full power station?
Hmm. Well, then there wouldn't be any need for 1240 anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. And I have to wonder if this is another piece of the puzzle, as it were, in terms of many people speculating that they want to phase out the AM band, as certainly they're seeming to do in the rest of the world. A lot of people have said that that's going to happen here eventually. And I'm just wondering, I can't help but wonder and ponder if this is the beginning of that.
Could be. I'm hoping not.
Oh, I'm hoping not too. But, I mean, haven't you thought, I'm rather surprised this hasn't occurred to you.
It's, no, honestly, it hasn't, because I've never been able really to imagine, you know, translators as anything else but translators, in that, I mean, I'm sure, Jake, I'm sure if these companies could, I'm sure they'd love to just simulcast their own, they'd love to have translators be able to originate their own programming and make it their own station. But I don't, a translator is a translator, unless the FCC wants to do what Canada is doing, which is they don't allow translators. They are relay stations.
Yes.
I mean, they could do that, but again...
But the thing is, though, in the case of these AM stations simulcast on FM translators, you can't have that simulcast without the AM station. If the AM license goes dark, the translator would have to go dark with it.
Right.
Or find alternate programming. I think, though, what a lot of these companies will want, if they don't want it already, is to be able to replace the AM signal with this FM translator as the one and only signal for said programming.
Right. But because it's a translator, I mean, again, you have all kinds of spacing rules that would have to be taken into consideration.
Well, yeah. For instance, I mean, translators can be squeezed in where full power stations and low power FM stations never could. Like that 96.1 here in Geneva, it's second adjacent to WCMF in Rochester. That never would work for low power FM. It sure as hell would never work for full power FM. Yet we can have a 220-watt translator. That's more than twice the limit for an LPFM station. But that's okay, because it's a translator.
Yeah.
So needless to say, yes, I am a little bitter about this, because that's one more frequency, that can't be used for LPFM in this area, which, of course, I have good reason to be keeping a close eye on that. So the rules would have to be changed, as you say, but rules have been changed in the past before.
Yeah.
So certainly,
yep. It's doable. I don't know how far in the I think it is a possibility.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying, oh, I know. I'm not pulling a Harold Camping and saying, well, I know this is going to happen.
I love that.
on such and such a day, this is going to happen where one, you know, all translators will be granted full power, full class A status. No, I don't feel like being the one to have to answer to that when that doesn't happen.
Right.
On the
right
day that
now.
I predict.
You are listening to Clearing the Static. We are a program talking about radio. We're online anytime at clearingthestatic.tripod.com.
We've got a few minutes left.
How many minutes do we have left on our program?
Well, let me see. We've got about, I want to say about 4 minutes.
Well, maybe we should tell people about our special that we are going to be running next week.
Yes, I think we should. I think we should, because I think it's definitely going to be something you're going to want to listen to, assuming you're going to be here next week.
Yes, assuming that you're going... Well, let's just assume you're going to be here. Now, here's what this is all about. As we have been saying on a couple of programs, and I have to call him by his respectable title, Dr. Harold Kemping, who is the head of Family Radio based in Burbank, California.
Oakland.
Originally, I thought he was originally based in Burbank, but maybe they... Oh, no, that's right. Moyle is based in Burbank.
Right.
Okay.
Something completely different.
Yes. Oh, God. Remind me to tell our listeners the Harold Kemping and Moyle story on another program. So, Harold Kemping, who's based in Oakland, California, he's the president of Family Radio, has been saying for quite a while that the world will end next Saturday. That's a week from today, as we're taping this, which is May 21st, 2011. Now, he is saying that the in each time zone, at approximately 6 p.m., there will be a massive earthquake. What Mr. Kemping doesn't realize is that we will be monitoring the news. And, of course, everyone will know about these massive earthquakes in all these other time zones before it hits the east coast of the USA. But here's what we're going to do. We will be doing a special about Harold Kemping and his end-of-the-world predictions. And we will be taping it at the time of his said prophecy to prove, or maybe disprove, that this is a reality.
Yes.
However, we will be monitoring the news of the day, and if it turns out that Harold Kemping is correct, I don't know if you're still on board with this, Jake, but we will go live.
Oh, yes.
Are you still up for going live?
Oh, absolutely.
If he's correct?
Yes, we'll go live. We'll have an absolute blast.
Yes, that'll be the last blast we have.
Right.
Because we'll be dead.
Well, no, actually, no, because what's going to happen is the good people will be raptured.
Yes.
And the rest of us will be here for basically hell on earth for 6 months.
Yes.
So it won't be the end of the world, but it will be the beginning of the end.
That's correct. And of course, you know, now with the tornadoes and floods and the rainstorm that you're currently getting at GCR, all of this, Mr. Kemping claims, is, which, I mean, ironically, you know, it fits in perfectly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All of this, Harold Kemping is claiming, is God's build-up to the end of the world next week.
Well, we shall see. Of course, if everyone wants to, you can always keep an ear on your local Family Radio affiliate or WYFR Shortwave or their webcast and keep up to date with what's going on.
That's correct. Oh, my God, that's 100% correct. And we will be talking about this in detail. And we may even have some perspective from someone who, as a Christian, does not agree with Mr. Harold Kemping's philosophy.
Absolutely.
So we will see what the program entails.
This is not, I should point out, though, it's not meant to be a religious program. It's not meant to bash any religion or give preference to any religion, but we just feel this is such an interesting, fascinating, and frankly ridiculous development by someone who is in many regards, in many circles, a prominent broadcaster. So we can't not discuss this.
Right. We just, this is something that we can't ignore. You know, this guy's got the licenses to over 130 stations.
Yes.
And we talked about this. Actually, I think we talked about this at the beginning of the year.
We did.
And we said this is something we just cannot sit back and ignore when this happens.
So be sure to listen for that next week. Unfortunately, we've only got about 30 seconds before we have to wrap up.
That's fine by me. You're listening to Clearing the Static. We're online at clearingthestatic.tripod.com, clearingthestatic.tripod.com. You can send email to the radio program. We're at radionewsnow, radionewsnow@ymail.com, radionewsnow@ymail.com. Visit us on our Jaiku page, clearingthestatic.jaiku.com, clearingthestatic.jaiku.com, and add us as a friend on our social networking page on Radio Jox, radiojox.com/profile/clearingthestatic, radiojox.com/profile/clearingthestatic. Remember, all you radio geeks and geekazoids, video didn't kill the radio star. He's just busy helping out the people who were devastated by the floods and tornadoes down south.
Absolutely. We'll be back next week, folks. Clearing the Static is a presentation of Geneva Community Radio, which is solely responsible for its content.